Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined by the birthday person, boy, man, birthday boy, Joseph Holbert. Joe, how are you?
I'm good. I'm pretty good. It's a big week, Jeremy. I'm pretty sure our audience, all the gifts they've sent will be coming in the next day or so, right? Saturday's the birthday. I'm sure they want to get them a day early. So I'm ready. I'm ready to open a lot of stuff. And today we're talking wrestling.
Yeah,
that has become clear, right? So
yeah,
wrestling. That's where I pass the ball back to you and I say, hey man, your offense, do what you want here.
Wrestling, can't wait. It's The Distraction here on Fightful. It's Thursday, we are talking wrestling. A couple of things to touch on. First off, we've got to send condolences, best wishes to the friends, family of Casey Michael from Squared Circle Sirens, who passed away on Wednesday. Just tragic. I didn't know Casey personally. I interacted with him on Twitter and just always had great interactions with him. I know he was struggling a lot with health. He'd been in the hospital for at least a month, maybe even longer. One of his tweets a couple weeks ago was he had like his entire intestines removed and he didn't think he'd be able to eat for the rest of his life. I just know he was struggling, and like, there was nobody who advocated, supported, championed women's wrestling more than Casey. Like, just the top of the food chain when it comes to being advocate for women's wrestling, and just basically saying like, men's wrestling sucks, women's wrestling is what it should be. And I know we caught a lot of heat over that. He didn't care. Like, he was just like, no, the women are the absolute best and they should be on television more. And look, it sucks. We've lost Larry Zonka this year, we've lost Casey. It's terrible. It's been a bad year, and losing Casey yesterday was tragic.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot. I think we all have, right? Like, in this weird little bubble we're in. Like, I didn't know Casey very well. But we all knew of his work, and it's like I'm left torn by the fact that there's a lot of pride, right, to be taken in the response that news got yesterday. Wouldn't you agree? Like, that was...
Yeah.
I mean, that spoke a lot to his impact, his influence, what he meant to people. But then at the same time, you're just like, man, 26, you know, like it's hard to take any side. It's just awful. Wrestling media, there's a lot of phonies, right? And people that are trying to do stuff for the sake of career. And like, he could never care less about that, right? He wanted to report the facts as he knew them and champion the stuff he loved. And like, just his passion, we should all strive to care as much as he cared. That's really the takeaway of him. Yeah, man, it's so sad. But like, it doesn't make it better by any means. It's just an awful situation all around. But like, just seeing the outpouring, the amount of people as high up as they went yesterday on Twitter last night, right? It's like, man, there's a lot to be proud of that. And like, I think eventually that will kind of, but it's very important, I got to stress, like, if you followed his work or if you didn't, like, keep him in mind, remember him, remember his message, He deserves that much. He worked very hard for that. He got contacts at like an extraordinary level because he loved it and his passion was that way. So just remember him, remember his message, and like keep him in mind. He deserves that.
I think RIP Casey was trending up to number 11 yeah. on Twitter yesterday. It might have gotten higher, but you're right. The amount of people who said something, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, like mm-hmm. legitimately the top women in wrestling, had something to say and remembered him. Like that was his influence. Like there was nobody better when it came to reporting on women's wrestling, champion women's wrestling. Like he was the absolute best at that. And like women's wrestling it's going to suffer because he is no longer doing that for the industry. We talk about the women's evolution. Casey played a big role in that. I truly believe that Casey yeah. played a big role in helping the women's evolution and getting them to the spot that they're at now.
100%. And on a personal note, I wish I knew Casey more on just the most sort of like general way possible. If there's anyone out there that you think about messaging and wishing well, do it while you can. Like, that's become awful clear to me over the last night, and like just keep it in mind. I know we say this every time, right? We're saying terrible. We say be nicer. I know that, but like anyone in your life you haven't reached out to for a while, do it. It's worthwhile. Nothing's gained from waiting. That's all.
I agree. I talked to Casey over health stuff mainly, which because I know he was going through a lot. My ex went through a lot of health issues as well, and so I just checked in with him and be like, hey, you know, what's your experience like? This is what my ex would go through. And we just kind of talked about that kind of stuff along with women's wrestling and stuff. But like, I know he was struggling. I don't know the full extent. It just sucks. I think he's at peace. And I think that's maybe the only good thing mm-hmm. about that is that he is no longer struggling with this stuff, but it's still 26, dude, 26. Like
yeah.
he had his whole life ahead of him, and he'd already accomplished so much at 26. It's tragic, it's terrible, and we've yeah. suffered. The entire world has suffered way too many losses this year. Our little wrestling community, legitimately, we've lost the top two people in their respective lines of what they did this year, and it's terrible. It's been a shitty year, everybody. It's been a shitty year.
It has. Yeah, but I think you nailed it with like anyone that was truly friends with him. Like, just love your way. But fans too, right? Like, so many people followed his work and stuff. It's just awful. But remember him, remember his message. He would like that, I think. He was pretty hard set on that, right? He would go through any Twitter debate it took to get across his point. And that's a beautiful thing. So remember that, keep it in mind. And stuff you enjoy, like, have that passion. It's great.
He did not take shit, and that's one of the things I definitely love about
Casey. He was
Casey.
Real, very authentic person.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, he. Anytime someone tried to be like, "Oh, what about the men?" He's like, "No, fuck the men. They suck. We need the women on television." And he stood by his message. And yeah, you're right. If you're passionate about something and you love it, like support it to the fullest. Do what you can to get it out there. You never know what kind of impact you can make if you support the ideas that you have, and that's what Casey did. So yep. Rest in peace to Casey. Again, condolences to his friends, his family, the entire wrestling community. Mm-hmm. It just sucks. What Joseph, where do we go after that?
I don't know, man. I really and truly was like, I mean, I'm with you, I know of these problems, but it caught me so off guard. I don't know kind of what we expected when we started this segment, but like it's hard to go from that to being like, what did you think of this pay-per-view? Right? Yeah. It really is. But that's what we're going to do. So there's no transition for us here. Are right? Like, that's just what it is.
Let's talk about this basketball game last night, all right? This wrestling show. Let's just not talk about wrestling. Because that was the original plan.
Yes, I'm going to let you vent, and I'm going to like just sit back and
look, first off, I got to take a drink. And because it's your birthday, I don't have a Pepsi Max. I wrote Max
that's strong.
Do a Pepsi. That's strong. When I went to the store to get a Pepsi Max, the lady was like, yeah, we haven't sold that in years. I was like, oh, yes. All right. So I got a regular Pepsi, and then I just Sharpied on Max on there. Just for you, Joseph, just for your birthday.
I think it's incredible, and it says a lot about his podcast, that our way of lifting the tone up is Pepsi Max followed by like devastating basketball talk. But here we are. You got the ball in yet. Your offense, pal. I'm in the corner. Okay.
I'm going to turn it over. I'm going to do what the Thunder do. Just turn it over. Try to draw flop. Try to draw a foul. Miss a shot. It's look, I'm wearing my Thunder shirt. I'm still supportive. Still my team. Yeah. Last night sucked. All right, I said it on the podcast on Tuesday. I could take a loss. This isn't a championship team. The Lakers would have swept us, beat us in five max. Like, I understood the ceiling on this team, the limitation. I just wanted to beat the Rockets. That's all I wanted. I wanted to beat the Rockets. And we had a chance. It was a close game. Final 5 minutes is where the team thrived all season. And for some reason, I mean, the reason is, like, this is just what happens with Oklahoma City. It doesn't matter who is there, the personnel, it does not seem to matter. It doesn't matter how good the season was going, how good things were going in the game, before the game, the week before the game, the games prior, it doesn't matter. Just, they throw up on themselves in this situation. So the thing that bugs me, besides everything, 16 straight road losses in the playoffs, Joseph. How is that possible? Like, how is that? In this situation, it's not even road games. Like, you're playing in the same court, the same venue every night, but the technical road games, games 1, 2, 5, and 7, they lost them all. Like, I do not understand how this is possible. I just don't. And 16, they have not won a road playoff game since game 1 of the Warriors series in 2016. And literally nothing has gone right since then. I mean, they got up 3-1. I guess that went right. But then, you know, what happened after that? Mm-hmm. Just, it sucks to be, it's great to be a fan of this team. They make the playoffs every year. They're competitive a lot of years. It sucks to be a fan of this team.
Yeah. I don't know how to tackle this one here. I don't want to.
I would rather be, like, I don't know if you, as a Sixers fan, you understood the especially when Simmons got injured, you knew what was going to happen. You knew it. Like,
oh yes.
The sweep, like, you were prepared. You're like, okay, let's get swept. You texted me during game 3, which was close, and you're like, Chris Paul doing great. And I texted you, I was like, I would rather get swept. Like, just end it. Just let me know, like, all right, you know, this team wasn't supposed to be here. They made it. They lost to the team that went all in this year. Fine. I would rather get swept than get the false hope of game 7, final minute, close game, like, we could possibly do this, and then still just lose. I got 4 hours of sleep last night. I'm doing the show on 4 hours of sleep. I was doing articles at 2 a.m. last night. Sean's wow. Like, Kevin Nash said he tested for positive for COVID at 1:30, and I'm like, I'm up. I know I'm not going to bed anytime soon. May as well just do it. Like, I'm doing articles at 2 a.m. I just, and all because, like, I was just stewing over this game. I don't feel like I ask for a lot. A first round victory. That's all I want. That's not a lot, I don't think. And couldn't get it. And just.
Are you interested in tackling where it went wrong, or do you not care?
It went wrong because Billy Donovan decides to play Steven Adams for 40 minutes a game, even though it's clear to the entire world that Steven Adams cannot play in this series. Darius Bazley plays great in the first half. Great. He played great all series. He can defend multiple positions. He gets rebounds. He spaces the floor. He attacks off the dribble. He sets a good enough pick. He was great. Even Nerlens Noel, he's limited, but at least he has some spring in his step.
Yes.
Steven Adams could not jump over a piece of paper in this series. He, like, that's how limited he was. Just useless. Absolutely useless. And Donovan is still like, I've got to play Adams and Gallinari, even though they can't defend in space. And it limits your spacing because Adams isn't drifting outside of the paint. Just, I don't get it. I don't. Donovan seems like a nice fellow. Sure, great college coach and everything. He cannot return next season. His playoff track record speaks for itself. He cannot return.
So I don't know if he has a history of running a certain place. So I'm not going to expose myself here, but please explain. Was that final play that he had four, three chances to come up with? Did he? Was there something they were going for? Because how did the ball end up with Steve Adams' hands on the 3-point line? We backed. I didn't understand what happened there. Was they setting something up that went wrong? I didn't get it.
The first option was Gallinari, and they tipped their hand that the first option was Gallinari because Gallinari had sucked all game. He was missing everything. He wasn't good. I like Gallinari. He was good in game six. Otherwise, not a great playoffs. They tipped their hand because they got the nonsense foul call before the inbound that put them on the free throw line. Chris Paul should have shot that free throw. Everybody knows Chris Paul should have shot that free throw. But Gallinari shot that free. And look, Gallinari is a great free throw shooter. He's like 90% on the season and like 80-something percent for his career. Great free throw shooter. They tipped their hand because he'd sucked all game, and they put him on the line so he could see the ball go through the basket.
Go through, yeah.
And then he missed it. And so it just...
Yes.
He was the first option. I think Chris Paul was the second option. Russ blew up the Gallinari. Like, Russ said it after the game. Like, I knew what they were going to run. We ran that all the time. Like, I knew what was coming. And so, like, Russ blew it up. And then Shea, the only thing he felt like he could do was get it in to Adams. And, I mean, we saw Adams shouldn't have been in the game. That's the thing. Like, right. He set the weakest screen. Like, I get he's in there to set screens. If you're going to be in there to set screens, set a screen. He didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, he set just a terrible screen that didn't free Gallinari at all. And then, yeah, he's out by the 3-point line. At that point, like, go to the rim, lob it up, and hope for the best. Because if there's no other option, there's no other.
Yeah. As soon as the play got blown up, Adams should have got straight to the rim.
Yeah.
Because they haven't got the length to re-deal with him. Really. I mean, they shouldn't. A lot of times.
But
they
he can't
do,
jump.
Adams is like,
he can't jump.
Yeah.
Like, and he's so... He got bullied by P.J. Tucker in this series. He got bullied by Robert Covington in this series. Mm-hmm. Like, them trying to throw... They lost the game in the final 5 minutes because they kept him out there. Because they'd get the switch and they try to throw him the ball and just... He got pushed around all season. I love Steven Adams. Great personality. Great in the regular season. He's another guy. His playoff track record just speaks for itself.
He's probably time. Right?
He cannot play. Yeah. He cannot play in these series. He got bullied. Dude, he got outplayed by Enes Kanter last playoffs.
That's tough.
Like, Enes Kanter. He got outplayed by Enes Kanter last playoffs. He's... I don't know what it is. In the playoffs, this dude just... absolutely disappears.
It feels like it's time for him to move on, I would assume. I mean, he's getting paid quite a lot of money though, right? 25?
Yeah, he's right on there? He's on the last year of his contract.
Okay, yeah. So it's probably time.
The thing now is, okay, what are you doing with the team? Because it was supposed to be a rebuilding year. They defied expectations. And now I think we talked a little bit about Tuesdays. Like, do you use these draft picks to maybe like go out and get maybe a missing piece or something? Or do you just like run it back, play for the 4 or 5 seed again, let the young guys develop, see what happens, go from there? Like, what do you do? The options are on the table, and I think that's a good thing of like, you know, you don't have to have a set plan here. If there's a great offer for Chris Paul, you take it. Like, you know, Chris Paul's 35 years old. 2 years because he's picking up that player option. he ain't letting that $41 million go when he's 37 or 38. It ain't happening. So 2 years left on his deal. Like, you know, you're not winning the title with Chris Paul in the next 2 years unless you do go out and you acquire, you get Giannis or Embiid or somebody. You hope that a star is just becomes available and you use your draft picks to get him. But or you can just run it back next year, and I'd honestly be fine with that. Chris Paul was great. He clearly loves this team. I do think he's a very good mentor for Shea and Dort and Bazley. Like, you want a guy like that around these young guys, and I think that's helpful. You've got to move on from Adams if you do nothing else. Like, he's not a guy that's going to be effective in a playoff series in 2020, 2021 basketball. Like, if you can move on from him, I don't even care what you get. Like, you know, play Bazley at the five, keep Noel. I think Noel is actually better for how OKC should play than Steven Adams. And yeah, it's just frustrating last night. So frustrating. Yeah.
But I'm trying to be positive here because it was your pitch, so I'm now taking it and kind of expanding on it. That Giannis deal is like, there's quiet emergency stations for the Bucks, right? And when I say quiet, I mean very loud. They need to do something ASAP and turn around this series. They cannot afford. What's the deal with Bud playing guys 30 minutes, 32 minutes?
Dude, this is a Billy Donovan thing. I mean, maybe this is why they should have been co-coaches of the year, because they're very similar. Like, I think Budenholzer, great regular season coach, but in the playoffs is about just adjustments and playing your best players. I talk with this to my friend about all the time. A coach's life is very difficult, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. X's and O's, dealing with personalities, game planning, all this stuff, it cannot be easy. I feel like the easiest thing to do as a coach is just put the best guys on the floor to win. Who are your five best guys who are playing the best, who give you the best shot at win? Put them on the floor, and then you can figure it out from there. And that's what Donovan does poorly, as demonstrated by this series and by every series that is in the past. And that's what Budenholzer does poorly, in that, like, why are Giannis and Middleton sitting at the same time? Yeah. Like, one of them should be on the floor at all times. This is what Scott Brooks did in OKC. Oh, we got to play Westbrook and Durant. No, you keep, like, Mike D'Antoni, for all his flaws, I give him credit in that he's like, I have Russell Westbrook, I have James Harden. He said this when they acquired Chris Paul, actually. He's like, for 48 minutes, we're getting elite guard play.
Yes.
Because they're either going to be on the floor together, or when one is off, one is still going to be on. And look, Donovan did a great job of this in the regular season and in the playoffs, of like, all right, we're always going to have two of Shea, Schroeder, and Paul on the floor at all times. Like, great. The problem is you have other guys to worry about as well, in that if a guy like Adams has been so ineffective, get him off the floor.
Yes, I just checked. Chris Middleton played 33 minutes and was plus 18.
It's the playoffs. Like, you've got to play these guys 40 minutes. Like, yeah, I don't know. Bizarre. I don't get it.
So there you go. That's what I'm telling you anyway. You're trading for Giannis Antetokounmpo in like 2 weeks. Chill. You're good, bro. You're good. You're only going to give up Steve Adams and a second. He's done. And a second, to be generous. Okay? And a second. You're going to pitch it, you'd be like, move Brook to the four, put Adams in at the five, championship.
My friend and I did will Paul George, we or speak Paul George into existence a couple years ago. We when we were floating out trade ideas, we floated out the Giannis idea, because the Bucks, like, if the Bucks lose in the second round, I don't know what they're going to do with that team, but Giannis has a year left on his contract, and if he has no assurances that he's going to re-sign there, OKC can offer just a gold mine of draft picks. And look, one season of Giannis, I will take my chances with Giannis, Shea, Chris Paul, Lou Dort, the GOAT, Lou Dort, and Gallinari. Resign Gallinari and run with, look, that starting lineup, Dennis Schroeder off the bench. I'm taking my chances with that team.
Whatever happens from this point forward, the quote of the playoffs will be Mark Jackson seriously and sincerely being able to say Lou Dort is outplaying James Harden while he showed their stats next year. I was like, this is surreal, man. This is insane.
What's also so frustrating is, like, you got 30 from Lou Dort. Yes. And, like, he checked Harden all game, like, all series. Like, Dort was fantastic this series. Mm-hmm. This is why I understand it was never about this season. Shut up, Siri. It was never about this season. I get that. And the future's good with Shea, Baisley, and Dort. Like, all three of those guys played very good this series. And they're 20, 21, and 22. The future's bright with those guys. All these draft picks. It all looks very good. I just want to beat this Rockets team. And I wanted that victory laugh, the victory lap. Like, I just wanted that. I feel like I don't get that often. in sports. Like, I always, during these, I go to bed angry. Like, dude, we haven't been out of the first round in 4 years now. In two of those years, we thought we were, like, a championship contender. This year, you know, it's just a game seven, a 4-5, the Russ MVP season, whatever. Like, prior to that, just so much heartbreak in the playoffs. I have people messaging me like, oh, imagine being a Knicks fan. Imagine being a Bulls fan. I would love that, actually. Because you know your season is over by game 40. It's like, ah, whatever. Got invested for 40 games. Don't care anymore. Like, now I can just watch fun, make fun of the team. They suck. Haha. I would much rather deal with that than having this false hope and just having my heart ripped out.
I can't believe you got those messages. That is amazing. I
hate that.
What is the need for that, right? Like, just leave it. Just leave people. Let people suffer when they're at these points. It's very sad. Please leave it.
Yeah, I hate that. Pulowski, he's a Bucks fan. And he was like, I'm a very sensitive Bucks fan. If you message me, like, Giannis is leaving, any type of slander and stuff, I will block you. And I'm like, that's the right approach. Nobody
love this podcast. We've done it twice in a week.
Nobody's messaged like mean things, like slandering the team or anything, yeah, but okay. Like, all right, cool, you're miserable as well, like, just let me be miserable too. And I'm sorry the Knicks suck, but again, your season's over after 40 games, you know.
Yes.
I'd rather deal with that. I just, like, I messaged you, I would have rather just dealt with a sweep. At least you know it's done. It's whatever. Like, my hockey team is going through we were down 3-1. It's like, cool. Just put us out in five. We're going to play game seven tomorrow. It's going to be on during SmackDown. I'm going to be doing the SmackDown post show, like, looking over here at my television the entire time. Sean's going to be like, what'd you think of this segment? I don't give a fuck about Jeff Hardy. I'm trying to watch my hockey team rip my heart out two nights after my basketball team does it. Stupid. What are we talking about, Joe?
We're not talking about Jeff Hardy. I promise he's not. We are talking about Jeremy. I'm going to get us back on track. This has been an experience. A podcast unlike any other. We are talking about Payback, Start of a New Line, I think was the official name of the pay-per-view, which went off the air, Jeremy, with a new WWE Universal Champion. That's correct. The big dog, Paul Heyman client, Roman Reigns. Jeremy, what did you think of this?
It's fine.
Okay, so I love that Braun and Bray had to construct two separate singles matches against each other in a week. Bray must have been like, how much is my pay going up? Two matches, 1 week. What is this? Roman Reigns, you like the Roman Reigns. Come on, Jeff, you like the Roman Reigns. Tell us how much you like the Roman Reigns.
I like Roman Reigns. I'm glad he's back. The Paul Heyman pairing is interesting. You know, he's a heel now. And he's shooting, brother. We predicted... We called that this Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt,
yes.
Or Bray Wyatt, Paul Heyman, this Reigns and Heyman alliance last week. We said, oh, they're both shooting. This is very Paul Heyman-like. You know, you got to read between the lines here on this show. You got to pay attention to the layers on this show to see what we are real, or to hear what we are really telling you. If you do that, you know what's going to happen. But you've got to pay attention. Got to pay attention, everybody.
So I think we suggested... And if this is the case...
No, we didn't suggest it. We knew it.
Yeah, we knew that, Bob. I think we suggested perhaps it was retribution. That's not true anymore. So we're going to get rid of that part of Scoop, right?
I mean, it seems like retribution could be. There's no...
It could,
like, yeah. They say retribution is Raw exclusive now, but they don't know what they're doing.
That's
with
amazing.
This group. I love that they're Raw exclusive.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, we're here to cause chaos. One night a week.
Yes, that Fox security is tough. It's tough to get in. Yes, I am. Do we think Heyman and Roman is like a, you know, that's it. He's the new Brock for Heyman until things change. Or are we getting a new, like, faction deal here? What do we think? Because, you know, I have a pitch, Jeremy. I mentioned this to you earlier. I'll get into it soon. But what do you think initially about that part of the deal?
I think it's just going to be I think it's going to be similar to Punk in that. Roman's not a guy who, like, needs Paul Heyman, just like Punk didn't need Paul Heyman. And I think at this point, Lesnar wants him because Lesnar just wants to show up and bounce around. But they don't really need him, but he's good to have. He adds a little extra credibility there. I think it's going to be similar to that. I don't think we're getting a full faction out of this.
So, I mentioned to you this off air. We are big Ms. Mark fans. We discussed this. He's now betrayed me and started a petition in order to get Mark Jackson as the new Sixers coach. So while I'm no longer a
you
fan
should
of
get
his,
Allen been. Iverson as the new Sixers coach. I hear hiring yes. ex-point guards is just the things to do now.
I saw a Sixers fan tweeted, forget head coach, I would give Steve Nash 4 years to be our point guard. And I was like, that's great. And probably true. But anyway, so he said to me, I should have protected his identity on this because he sensed to get in trouble. But here we go. He thinks the way here is Alexa Bliss as a Paul Heyman gal. Jeremy. How do you turn a killer clown babyface? The same way they turned Kane babyface 15 years ago. How, you ask? Well, he mistreats a female horribly, and when she dares get revenge, she is now the villain. WWE storytelling, done. I have just spoiled it for you. I'm sorry, that's what's happening. It all makes sense in my mind now. It's 100% how they're going to turn him babyface. I will bet the genuine money on this. That's how I'm convinced it's happening. Book it, bet it, do whatever you want to do with it.
I still want a dual personality Alexa Bliss. That's what I want. Sparkle Alexa Bliss in the funhouse. Killer clown Alexa Bliss as the wrestler. Look, Alexa, you know, what the joke on her is she doesn't like to take bumps and stuff, right? Like, this is perfect. This is perfect for her. She wrestles once every 3 months or something, does the funhouse segments. This is right up Alexa's alley.
I love the idea of her being like, I'm not doing anything. I want a team with Nikki Cross. I want to get those tag titles over. And they're like, okay, how about this? You become Bray Wyatt. He's like, Nikki, nice knowing you. This is different level. This is a different kind of pitch. I don't know. Here's the deal. If we're being realistic here, if there's one woman's wrestler that doesn't need Paul Heyman, it's probably Alexa as a heel, right? Like, no need whatsoever, a waste of time. But if she's not going to be a killer clown, that would still be somewhat fun to me. So I have now made this a scoop. Report this news now. Alexa is the next Paul Heyman, well, the first, right? Has Paul Heyman ever managed a woman's wrestler? I know, like, the Medusa, she was, like, with them 30 years ago. That feels different for some reason. So what was we talking about? Yeah, Payback. Roman Reigns is the champ. What are we looking at here? A Bray Wyatt program that lasts for the rest of the year? Or do you actually think they're going to dare try some new baby faces? What do you think?
They don't have any baby faces. Like, who True. Do they have? Jeff Hardy is... he's the Intercontinental Champion. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, that... They have Riddle, but Riddle and Corbin seems like it's continuing. They don't have baby faces. This is the problem with their. I think it's going to continue because now the story is like, Roman just came in and basically cashed in Money in the Bank and won, you know, and won this thing. So, you know, Bray was never pinned. I think it's going to be a Roman and Bray program, and Alexa's going to be standing backstage twirling the gum in her hair.
Here's the deal. We agree Big E and Roman is going to happen at some point, right? It seems they're framing Big E as a guy who's, like, true to himself and he's, like, leader of the locker room. And that works perfectly with what Roman has become here because he's kind of sold out, right? The question is that going to be – are they looking at it as a WrestleMania match or is that going to be your October pay-per-view match, right? And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, either way we get it, I'm cool. It's not my job to look at WrestleMania next year. But it is going to shape SmackDown. Because if they want to really build Big E for, like, the Rumble, that's still a way away, right? You got, what, 4 months? 5 months? So that'll be interesting.
I think you just continue this Bray Wyatt program through... Like, they're great at stretching these feuds. Every King Corbin feud lasts for 6 months. They can stretch this feud as long as they need to. Stretch that. Keep building Big E. Because until Payback, I've not been thrilled with his singles run, the working from underneath type of matches and all this stuff. Yeah. It doesn't, especially against, like, Miz and Morrison and these guys. The Sheamus match was great. I thought this was like, all right, this is when you can do it and it works. But when you see it against Miz and Morrison, it almost loses impact. Like, you should have just ran through those guys. And then the Sheamus match would have meant a little bit more, even though it still was very good. Keep building Big E. Do put him over strong at Survivor Series. I do think you can do Big E Roman WrestleMania. I would, if possible, stretch it until then. I don't think they don't have the patience to do that kind of stuff. I just don't think they have the patience for it.
You brought up Survivor Series, and like that would be the perfect spot to like solidify him as the locker room guy, right? Like the face of the brand kind of deal. If he went out there and like was 3-1 just with him left for his brand and he won that match. This feels like a rare example of where they could actually do like a traditional WWF push that they used to do like 30 years ago, right? Where you like pencil him in for something major at every marquee event. I hope that's the case. But again, I'm just happy with the program. That's a genuinely fresh matchup between two guys that like I believe in as top guys. And I can't really argue with that. Wherever they do it, I'll happily watch. So, I mean, other than him, obviously a shake-up would make it easier, I guess, right? You could send Owens at him, maybe. I don't know.
Here's, and this will kind of go into our next topic. We didn't put time on the clock today, by the way, because, you know, whatever. Not a traditional show, as you can tell by the first 25 minutes of basketball talk. Say that for the end, usually. Transitioning into the next thing, here's where you can go with a shakeup. Keith Lee. Because you had the Keith Lee and Roman Reigns moment last year at Survivor Series. You can potentially build off that going into this year's Survivor Series. Even the Keith Lee can be your WrestleMania guy. You can move Big E, the whole New Day, to Raw or something and have him do the Raw title program against whoever, you know, Randy, if Randy's the champion, whoever the champion is at that point. But Keith Lee is certainly there. Look, we were worried about him last week. The music thing still sucks. It's terrible. It's generic music. They at least got him out of the skirt, so his gear looks a lot. The shirt, whatever. I don't care that he's wearing a shirt. So they did that, but they put him over Strong at Payback. He beat Orton in like 5 minutes. Clean victory. I mean, Lee is pretty made at this point. And so like you can make Keith Lee and build him and potentially do him against Roman.
Yeah, we have to. How often have we said, here is a time where a guy should just win flat? And they never do it. And in fairness, it's not just them. Most promotions don't. We was recently celebrating the fact that they did it with Brody, right? It was like, wow, someone actually did that. With Brody, it was an angle. This was not an angle. And that's what I loved about it. Keith Lee just beat him, right? Like, it was like, no, I hit my move. It's done. We had a match. It was 5 minutes. That's it. The end of match. And then they protected him awesomely in the triple threat. It was great the way they did that, where Randy avoided pinning him and that whole deal. He was beating up two of the top guys of the last decade.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, that's pretty great. I think you're going to get Keith Lee and Randy as the full title program. I think Randy's getting the belt, and to be honest, and maybe this is my own weird way of thinking, him doing the Payback favors the way he did them convinced me he's getting the belt. Like, that was such a... I know the business has changed, Jeremy. You told me that many months ago. But still...
On the premiere episode, I told you this.
Yes. What a moment it was. But that was still, like, an emphatic way of making a guy, right? I feel like Randy's been too great this year. I think that was his way of setting up his next program. What that means for Drew maybe answers our last question. Maybe then you send Drew to SmackDown. You have Drew and Roman. Drew's whole deal, as you know, transcribing 100 of his interviews, is that he's all about locker room culture and all that deal. And, like, you know, maybe that's what you do. In fact, that is definitely what you do, Jeremy, because he just beat Brock Lesnar, so he has to deal with Heyman. There you go, folks. We've just booked, like, 2 years of the territory. We've done it. Drew is going to SmackDown. Randy's getting the belt. Covered.
So they're going to do babyface Drew against heel Roman Reigns?
Yes.
100%. Do you think they can bring in Sting and Yokozuna?
Well, look, here's the thing. I don't. I'm actually pretty certain they can't, and I think at least 90% of our audience is like, I have no idea what's going on. But the 10 that gets here has just erupted. They're like, I get where this is going.
But watch the product, folks. Watch the product.
Yes. I didn't have... You had Heyman, right? You had Brock. That's a different...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yes. But that actually makes sense. They definitely need to get these guys underneath. Like, Owens is... I mean, him and Aleister Black will be fine, but I don't think he's winning that program, would be my guess. Because you kind of need to establish Black as a heel. At some point, you're going to have to do something with Kevin Owens. He's too valuable to just be, like, kind of floating around aimlessly, right? He needs a jolt of some kind. He could be one of your... If he's not your top babyface, he could be number two on a brand easily. So they need to figure that out.
They haven't done anything with Owens since WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had the big WrestleMania moment, jumps off the sign. He beat Seth Rollins. Like, he won that match.
He got his moment.
Yeah. And then he's done... I understand he missed some time because he wasn't comfortable being around due to COVID. But, like, they've done nothing with this man since WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely nothing. They do need to do something with him. Yeah, I think you're right. Black is winning that feud. But, yeah, you can get Kevin Owens hot really quick because he can talk himself into any program. He's viable. You can just put him over, guys. You can heat him up really easily. And they should probably do that because they are lacking in this babyface realm. Rey Mysterio, he's hurt now. Look, I'm all for Dominic. I thought Dominic should have won on Monday. Give me the Dominic title reign. You're still a coward for not writing the Dominic feature when I told you that this man is going to be just the future of this business. You could have got in on the ground floor with Dominic, Joe. You could have wrote the SummerSlam feature and be like, man, before this kid wrestled his first match, I wrote this feature on him, which was great. And then a decade later, I'm writing this feature on him as he's about to headline WrestleMania 45. He's about to headline WrestleMania for the 9th straight year.
Yes, that sounds more. That's where I think we're heading. Dominic's been great. I thought he would be good. I didn't have anything to write about. There's only so many ways I can fancy say he looked pretty cool with that kendo stick. I can't. There's only so many paragraphs I can get out of that, unfortunately, Jeremy. I'm with you, though. You are right. I've missed an opportunity there. They can definitely do stuff with him. I mean, the issue is like, I don't know when audiences are going to be back, but you have to be very careful not making people resent him, right?
Yeah.
If you have Ricochet, Ali, and Cedric Alexander being like just a group of nerds that get beat up by guys, while Dominic is like top babyface.
Dominic's better than him.
I'll leave it there. But even if I may understand why you're doing that, the hardcore fan, which is really the only fan watching now, broadly speaking, they're going to get angry and post like GIFs of other people doing cool moves. So you don't want that to happen. You never want that to happen. They just have to be careful with how they... I mean, thus far they've done that, right? He's been like the valiant loser who makes his mother cry. That's what he's been saying.
Rey Mysterio just got his like entire family on television.
Yes.
God bless him. He was like, you want me to sign this new contract? Yeah, I want my wife on TV. I want my daughter on TV. Like, you know, they got to hang out at catering, get these free meals and stuff. Like, hey, more power to Rey for doing that. Now he's going to have to sign the contract because he's injured. And WWE's like, we ain't paying for your injury unless you sign this contract. What a negotiation this is. Put the title on Dominic is the main point on this.
That's exactly it. That was what we concluded there, right? By the way, I love that Rey, like, I love the fact that he's got, like, a missing eye. It's just now... Like, his eye is destroyed.
See, this is still, his eye, they never really gave an update. They're like, oh, yeah, the optical nerve wasn't detached. Like, whatever that means. At the local medical facility. Whatever that means. But if you're going to do this, like, patch over his mask, this giant patch for the rest of his career, why didn't you just, like, CGI this eye coming out and, like, blood everywhere and, like, squirting and stuff. Like, Seth Rollins could have, like, stomped on his eyeball or something.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Yeah, you know?
Curb-stomped it, even. He could have, like, bounced it and curb-stomped it on the catch.
Exactly. Like, that's what should have happened with this if you're just going to do this stupid eye patch mask anyway. Instead, they're like, oh yeah, like just dangling gummy ball that never really got detached, and he's fine. It's so dumb. Like
he'll just like wrestle as normal, and then in the 15th minute of the match, he'll be like, "Oh yeah, do you remember when his eye nearly got to take him out?" It's like nothing. It meant nothing in the grand scheme, but that feud has been fine. It's just, so do we think Murphy and Rollins are doing a split there? I don't know. I didn't watch the promo. Gonna be honest with you, I watch that promo.
I have no idea. They're just splitting everybody.
Yes.
They hate tag teams so much. Like they just cannot stand tag teams. They're like, we got two people who like each other. Nope, can't do that. Can't have any friends around here on this part. Like this is the real credit to the New Day is, like, you know, they've pitched a million times, like, hey, we got to get you guys off, like, we got to do your own thing, we got to turn mm-hmm. somebody here, we gotta do something, and they just stood their ground the entire time. It's like, no, we know how that ends. That ain't happening.
Yes.
Everybody else just gets split. Like they cannot stand tag teams.
I have a strong transition here as the somewhat host of this show, but first I want you to just, do you want to expand on the particular team that got split up this week, or are you fine just leaving it as is?
Oh, the Iconics? I mean, the yes. Iconics, like, I guess they're doing a singles push for Peyton Royce. That's what all the rumor and innuendo says. Billie Kay, I think, would make a great, like, comedy heel wrestler. I think she'd be mm-hmm. fine in that role, but, like, why am I commenting on this? You were the former president of the women's tag team. Yeah, former. You retired.
You took it from. Do you not know you got the role when I left?
No. I did not get the role. I wrote up the press release. I did not. I think that position is still unfilled, and there aren't many candidates. Like, my inbox is not flooding. Like, hey, I'd really like, if you would like to apply for the position of the president as the women's tag team division, feel free to DM me, send me your resume, let me know, and I will look over your qualifications. But yeah, nobody's applying for that job, Joe.
Yes.
That division is just dead. They have no tag teams. None. Their only tag team is the Riot Squad, who like got back together, won a match, but then they still weren't back together. But then they came out in matching gear, won a match,
together.
And then they were like, oh yeah, we're definitely together. Like, yeah, I think your matching gear gives away that you're together now. Like, we're just gonna spend. So this division sucks. It sucks.
Yeah, I mean, they have no interest in making it good at this point, right? Like, they're very much telling you, guys, it's okay, just accept that it sucks. We don't care. Like, it's fine. We no longer care. Please don't care. I mean, the fact that they split up their, like, popular heel team. And I'm not a big Iconics guy, so, like, being sincere, I don't care. They did that. And their champs are now two people that hate each other. It's, like, the perfect metaphor for the division, right? Like, it's just, here's where we're at. Here's two people we had nothing for. They're the tag champs now. Enjoy.
People were like, oh, the belts meant something when Sasha and Bayley had them. No, they didn't. The belts were a prop in the Sasha and Bayley feud.
That's disgusting.
Feud. Like,
that's disgraceful.
That's
what a terrible take that is. I'm actually angry right now. The
Dude,
idea
people,
that would have got the belts over.
When I made the Iconics tweet, I was like, so they just split the Iconics for no reason. Like, it was so, what was the point of, like, oh yeah, just if the team that loses has to split. Like, the Riot Squad wasn't even, like, officially together. They tried to tease, like, Iconics tension 2 months ago when Billy slapped Peyton.
They had a mean streak. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember that.
Like,
yeah.
There was no point to this split. They're teasing Alexa and Nikki splitting. They're teasing Sasha and Bayley splitting. It's like, the champions are two people who don't get along. Legitimately the only tag team they have. As like, oh yeah, they're together, they're cohesive, they're in this, are Liv and Ruby. They have no other tag. There's no tag teams on SmackDown. There's none. Not a single women's tag team on SmackDown. Just,
I mean, there's not many teams in general.
Well, yeah,
right?
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's only the Riot Squad. That's it.
No, but I mean, like, men as well. There's just no teams.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Lucha House Party is, like, your second team.
Yeah, and the Lucha tough. House Party are splitting, too. Like, they just
oh, yes,
hate. Like, they just hate tag team wrestling. Just cannot stand it. And
remember when, like, 2 minutes ago, he was like, I have nothing to say about this. You do it. Man, you're cooking now. Keep going, Jeremy. Go.
Freaking. So stupid. But yeah, people were like, yeah, Sasha and Bayley, the belts meant something. No, they didn't mean anything. Like they had the belts because it's just a prop to advance the Sasha and Bayley stuff. It's not because they actually cared about the division. Like, oh, they went to NXT to defend them. Yeah, they went to NXT to pop a rating. Like, that's it. They weren't actually there for any substantial storyline. There's no storyline with these belts. It's just, they're there. Now the belts are on Shayna and Nia, who just don't like each other. And Asuka. Now Asuka's going out. Asuka doesn't have a partner. Like, what's Asuka doing? Is Kairi coming back? Is Io coming up? Like, Asuka's just yelling at these two. Doesn't have a partner. I'd be cool if Asuka just beat them both and just held all the titles herself. We haven't seen that before. Yeah. Let's just do that.
No, that always goes well. Yeah, that's a good idea. I have nothing to add. I think since the Dome of Thunder has come in, which I was thrown out of, that's definitely a true story. I think it's actually been pretty good, WWE. But, like, in order to enjoy it, you have to accept there's certain, like, rules before you go in to the Thunderdome, you know? It's like, don't do anything terribly dumb on camera. Don't expect any good tag team wrestling. It's like, cool, I'm in. Let's go. Give it, like, at that point, you have to accept and just, as soon as they went the way they went, where the belts were, like, full props, and I know they had good matches. This isn't on them. But it just told you the writing was on the wall, right? Like, it was like, we know what's going to happen here. Eventually, they'll give it to a team that's going to fade off TV. It'll get worse. And then at some poor woman will be like, yeah, this, bring it back up. Only for them to do it again and again. It's a vicious cycle. It happens with the men titles too. Jeremy, speaking of tag team wrestling, how pumped are you for this Saturday's All Out event featuring a tag team dream match, in my view? How is that for a transition, Jeremy?
You're really excited about that Dark Order against Matt Cardona, yeah. Scorpio pump, Sky, right? SCU match, aren't you?
Very excited.
I'm excited for Hangman and Omega against FTR. I think this is their best built feud that they have on this show. It's been going on pretty much since FTR arrived, and that felt like months ago. I'm sure it was months ago. I'm excited. I thought that was the best segment on Dynamite last night. Dynamite last night didn't do much of anything for me. The Moxley stuff was dumb. I liked the closing angle, but the way they got there was just a waste of time. But the FTR Hangman Omega stuff has been just great. I love the shot of, you know, FTR goes off. They drop the belts and stuff. Hangman's drunk, hungover, whatever. It looks like me right now. Hasn't slept in forever.
Yeah.
And he picks up his belts and he's like ready to hand one to Omega. Like, great camera shot. And then it pans out. You see Omega's on the outside. It's like, oh, poor Hangman. This guy just has nobody. Like, nobody trusts this guy. He's in his own head. He's drinking too much. This angle's been great. I cannot wait for this match. I assume it'll be off the charts because FTR are a great tag team, and I mean we've seen Hangman and Omega. That match against the Bucks was amazing, so I assume it's probably going to be the best match on the show.
Yeah, I'm not super into this card. We spoke about this a little bit off air, but I think this match should main event the show. Like, I don't know if MJF and Mox is bigger than I perceive it as. I think Mox is a great champ. I don't think it's, it almost feels a little B pay-per-view-ish to me as a world title match. Not because of the two guys, because of the way it's been like set up. I don't buy MJF is winning the title, you know, and that's always, when you have four pay-per-views a year, that's a pretty big factor, I think. I think a big selling point for this show is their track record, right? Like, people have enjoyed their pay-per-views, and let's be honest, this one will probably be fun too. As a card, I think it's just fine, but this match has potential, as you just touched on there, like the reasons you stated, man. Like, this could be spectacular. If this gets time to, and I'm glad that this week's angle put Hangman against FTR more too, because if it's still them trying to manipulate him as friends, I feared that the kind of angle element would overlap too much of a long match, you know, and you spend 10 minutes with that whole deal. That isn't the case now. Hangman's just stuck. He's in the middle of this and he's going to try and beat some people up. So that should be fun. I think they should go on last. Outside of that, is there anything for you? I mean, I think the women's title match is a joint sort of like, we both want that to succeed. I think it'll be very good. But is there anything you're dying to see on this show?
I do think the women's title match, I don't think it'll be good as the tag team match. It definitely has the potential to be the second best match on the show, though, because Thunder Rosa is very good. Akira Shida is very good. And I would assume they're going to get time. Like, Rosa and Serena Deeb got time.
Good match.
Yeah,
very good
it
match.
Was a good match. Yeah. And, like, they got time on Dynamite. I mean, look, if the women get more than 3 minutes on Dynamite, then they're doing, you know, they show some level of care to it. So I think that'll be a good match. I'm looking forward to that. I wish there was a better angle there, but they're selling as a champion versus champion deal, rival promotion kind of coming in. It works. It definitely works. Anything else? Like, I actually think MJF is going to win on Saturday.
Wow.
Yes. I think they're going to put the belt on MJF. I have not... MJF has cut some great promos during this feud. I think Moxley's been very good. Like, the dynamic between the two has been very good because they're such opposites of each other. The match, I'm a little bit worried about. It is kind of a styles clash. And that angle last night, like, just... It wasn't... Again, the angle was good. How they got there wasn't great. The campaign stuff, a little much, mainly because it's kind of like on the nose in this election year. It's like, keep politics out of wrestling, especially this year in this situation. Like, you could have done the same thing without the whole kind of campaigning kind of issue here. November is going to be dreadful here in America, and it's already started, and like, I don't need this on my wrestling program. Both guys have done great with it. It's just, it's not something that's really struck with me just because I hate elections and I hate this year.
I get that. I mean, it's also very, I don't want to use the term very WWE, right? It's wrestling, but the way that they did it with the lawyer and stuff, it was, it was a little bit, it wasn't out of character for Moxley because he can do all sorts of wacky comedic stuff. But I just don't know if I like it as, like, your pay-per-view world title match.
Right.
You know? Here's a sneaky interest of mine on that show. I am biased and dumb and naive, but I think Eddie Kingston is winning the Battle Royal this Saturday. And I'm kind of convinced because he winked at the camera and he has four guys in that Battle Royal. He has four! What's his plan here, Jeremy? He has to have a plan. He said last week he wants belts. Let's do John Moxley and Eddie Kingston or MJF, Eddie Kingston. Please. Jeremy needs this. Joe needs this. The Distraction needs this.
This is like your big birthday wish, isn't it? For Eddie Kingston.
Sincerely. I'm embarrassed by how much I want this. Imagine how much fun it would be. Eddie's got an 0-1 record. It's the perfect guy to do it with. Like, Archer doesn't need to win a Battle Royal. Come on. Let's do this.
I do think that the Battle Royal might tip who wins the main event because I would assume your next challenger is, I mean, he's coming out of that Battle Royal. I don't know if they're going to do that on like a Dynamite or if they're going to do that at the next pay-per-view to build that up. If it's going to be the pay-per-view, like, you're not going into a pay-per-view. No offense to Eddie Kingston. I don't think they're going into
I don't think it will.
Yeah.
I just don't think it will. Like, I think, when is Full Gear? 2 months?
Yeah, it was November last year.
It just feels like a perfect TV main event to me. I don't think there's anyone in the Battle Royale I'd do as a pay-per-view main event, you know? I don't know. I haven't thought about that deep.
If
you,
go Darby and you have 2 months to build Darby, and I mean, you can do Moxley or MJF at that point, honestly. I think Darby is one guy who could... There could be a surprise. Brock Lesnar, I've heard there's rumblings that he's a free agent. He could certainly be a surprise in this Battle Royal. You know, they... Look... Mox has got to get that win back, brother. Bring Brock in. They're on Mox's turf now.
Bro, we both know where Brock is going. Nick Aldis, hold that title tight, okay? We know where Brock's going. Smashing Pumpkins, they're firing up. They're ready for a new tour. They don't care about no COVID. They said, we're touring. We need Brock Lesnar. Let's go.
Aldis would 100% just be like, yeah, let's get Brock in so I can beat him. Like, Aldis ain't match. Going over. Aldis like, this guy ain't going over me. Like, I'm winning this match. And Brock will just be like, what is happening? No. I do want Moxley and Brock on AEW terms. But I don't like care about the match. I just want like the backstage talk. Like, just give me a camera that follows them around through the negotiations of like laying out this match after what happened at WrestleMania a few years ago.
I don't think you're gonna get that wish, to be honest. I think my wish is actually more realistic in this case. But neither seem like it. You've really thrown me with the MJF prediction. I just it feels too soon to me. It feels like this is a match where he's going to gain from it by being, like, tough. And Jim Ross, you know when Jim Ross does the classic, like, gotta respect him. Might not like him. You gotta respect him. And I need Ed Kingston to, like, just do awful things to himself in a match with John Moxley. We all need this, don't we? This is what the world needs, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure I read that somewhere.
You know Moxley wants that, too. Like, Moxley's probably just like, yeah, give me, like, 20 minutes to throw myself through barbed wire on Dynamite with Eddie Kingston and glass and light tubes. And
imagine
stuff.
The promo Eddie Kingston would cut to sell a world title match on TNT. Like, you could do something. This is not, now I'm just full fantasy booking. But the story with him is so, like, natural. And I just wonder what the point of him having four friends is. Like, he's clearly got some kind of plan, right? It's a battle royal. Come on. Come on, Eddie. Think about this. I know you listen. Think about it. It's simple. Four guys in there. Come on.
I would think he has a plan. Yeah, maybe he's got Proud and Powerful in this battle royal.
That could
well.
Work. Yeah.
You know, you can do something there. So, I hope for the sake of your birthday, you get this. I truly hope. One of us deserves some happiness this week, okay?
I'm going to go a step further. If I don't get this, I may request another trade.
Oh, my God.
I've enjoyed the Thunderdome recently. I may go home. I don't know. I'll be honest with you guys, I may go back home. I'm not sure. New York, I don't know what their COVID numbers are looking like, but that place was always good to me. The fans were great. I have my issues in New York. But I may be going home. By the way, we have a segment every week called Match of the Week, and neither of us put in the format. Do you remember my Match of the Week?
Oh my God. Oh yeah, it was Sasha. I didn't watch it.
Would you like me to do a one-man review of the match?
I usually watch it on Thursday morning or Wednesday night, and obviously these were dire circumstances. I completely blanked. Do you just want to hold off for next week, or do you really want to?
No, because after watching it, it's not very distraction. It was very much a bit by me, but like it's just a fine wrestling match. It doesn't really fit. And also, I have trained myself to not listen to Michael Cole, Corey Graves, or Jerry Lawler. So therefore, I have no funny commentary notes. I have a couple notes. There is an ad before this match. It's the main event of Raw. And the ad is 205 Live tomorrow, a six-man tag. Cedric Alexander, Gran Metalik, and Enzo Amore, which is an extraordinary trio in itself, taking on Noam Dar, Drew Gulak, and Tony Nese. And I sat there just thinking, I can't believe they used to advertise that show on Raw. Do you remember when they used to talk about it? Where did that go? Do you remember the ad that had like Tajiri in it for 4 years for no apparent reason? He left after a month. This was my main takeaway from this.
Dude,
what happened?
The cruiserweight division was Raw exclusive because they had 3 hours. They had time to fill with the cruiserweight division. Remember Mick Foley cut that excellent promo saying how hyped he was about the cruiserweight division and then couldn't name anybody?
I was legit excited because I love the Cruiserweight Classic. And I think that was during my, like, they won't mess it up. You know that time, you know those weird moments where you believe, you have optimism, you have faith. And I was like, they won't mess it up.
No, don't. Yeah.
I was like, listen, man, TJ Perkins just can't miss. That guy, that guy's headed to the top. Jeremy, this match is 3 years ago. What has happened? Why has nothing changed? I get that their babyface and heel was switched, but like, this just seems, has time stood still in the World Wrestling Federation?
Yes.
I don't. This match is effectively a WCW Saturday night match from 1992, in that you'll never remember any of it, but boy, is it sound. It's solid. There's a superplex in it that they sell for like 5 minutes. It is just, and this really fueled my Alexa should actually be Heyman's Rick Rude. I'm there all in. I might get like a white ball and start shooting angles. I have nothing else to say, I don't think. Oh, they do a slow motion on Alexa's punch, and they slow-mo it specifically so you can see her just slap her leg as hard as possible. And all I could think was, poor Randall. They did a superplex, bro. I'm in. And then the finish, of course, this is the famous match in which, after a week of being told she's a loser that can't defend her title, the legit boss, Sasha Banks, doesn't defend her title and is a loser. That was the only reason I picked it. I've mentioned it on this podcast a million times. But when watching it, it is just like a fine freestyle match. No humour. No Tony Schiavone, no Don West, just wrestling. Who likes wrestling, Jeremy?
This is a bad choice by you. I blanked on, obviously, watching this match. I don't even know what my pick is for next week. I blanked on all of this. Just completely, look, I was thrown off of everything this week. I'll be back to being a professional next week. This past week was, really, Wednesday night was just misery. Absolute misery. And, I did point guard stuff, I guess. Choked it away in the final segment here.
That must have hurt.
Just choked it away. I mean, what
don't say that. Stop yourself. Don't say it's not the point guard's fault. Look, we're all human. He may not be the point guard, but he is flawed, okay? He can't get right every time. Just this, you know, this go out on a high here, Jeremy.
Could not, have gotten not it make... right if Steven Adams wasn't in the game clogging up all better. The paint.
I like that better. I don't like us to go Chris Paul. Chris Paul is point guard. It's not, you know, that's let's not go after him.
All right. Yes. Fair.
Is that us? Have we done everything? Oh, and Brock Lesnar, by the scope. Brock Lesnar has just signed to fight Fedor in my back garden. Breaking.
I hope that fight happens.
It should happen. Yeah, honestly, I'm all in.
I hope Scott Coker can pull this off. I have no interest in Brock going to UFC and getting killed by Jon Jones or anything like that. I completely have interest in 40-year-old Brock against, like, I guess Fader's like 40 as well. Both these guys are over 40 is my point. Yes. I have full interest in these two guys completely past their prime finally doing this super fight that was teased a decade ago. 100% yes. In on this fight.
I would bet everything I own that Scott Coker has called Dana White and said, I will sell you my whole roster. How much money? And can it afford? He's like, we have this featherweight tournament. We can just pretend it's your tournament. How much money would you pay for that? And I think this is happening. I think Ring of Honor have called WWE and said, we will sell our whole roster, tape library, rings, and office building for enough money to sign Brock Lesnar. I'm telling you, money's going on out there. I've heard it. The DMs are lining up. I'm just telling you,
I pitched to you that Brock should show up in the Impact Zone, smashing the cold beers with the Hoots, and just burying Heyman the whole time.
Josh Matthews would explode. The next big thing! Just erupts. Just loses his mind. Falls out of his chair. It'd be amazing.
When you think of, like, iconic Brock Lesnar moments and calls and everything, Brock showing up in the Impact Zone and Madison Rayne and Josh Matthews being on the call is definitely at the top of the list.
Especially if it is as it is now and it's just an empty building. Yes. Just black lights. It's just Josh Matthews. Like, no matter who it is, it's hard, but just imagine it. Imagine Josh on that call. God bless if he tries.
I was upset at Slammiversary when, like, all these guys were showing up and it's like, God, this feels just so cold with Matthews screaming and there's no audience or anything. Like, and that's for no offense to Anderson, Gallows, Eric Young, Impact World Champion Eric Young. Like, they're not Brock Lesnar. Like, Brock Lesnar showing up in that setting would be something.
Yes, it would. Him doing his whole entrance to just dead silence other than Matthews. The Beast got it. It'd be amazing. By the way, before we go, people, do not be mean about the Eric Young. I'm seeing people be mean about the Eric Young. Eric Young is very good. Why are we being mean here? He won the belt from Eddie Edwards. Just don't watch Impact. It's fine. It exists in its own little world. I watch it. I like the Eric Young. Leave us alone. That's all I want to say. People, leave us alone.
People are strange. You were on Team Impact for a little while before.
Got some shots up. Yeah. I needed a contender, man. I'm sorry. I had fun there. And Damore is an amazing coach. His offense flows. And I trusted Callis, but I just need... I need to be on a contender. That's where I belong. It's one or the other for me. You know this. He's done with me. Ghetto said no more. No more open freeze we missed on my watch.
I don't even remember what I was going to say. It was something about, Impact. People have this, like, misconception that, like, everything needs to be on the level of WWE. And so, Eric Young is... He's this ex-WWE guy. He wasn't even on Raw, and now he's the Impact World Champion. This is dumb. Like, it's a different universe. Like,
it really is.
The ECW stuff is very apt of, like, yeah, okay, Shane Douglas was nobody in WWE. He was Dean Douglas. He goes to ECW, and the biggest heel. And it said a lot of dick jokes. He was like, Dick Flair, ha ha ha. And people are like, oh my God, best heel in the business, Shane Douglas. Like that's how it is with Impact. Yes. It's obviously minor, but you know, there are still top players in the minor leagues, and that's okay.
Yeah, and but they do these weird. I wish people that did like the quote tweet dunk thing like understood how weird their little universe is. Like sometimes they'll start the show where the last show finished, and it's like, so what is this? Is it like an anime program now? Like what am I watching here? It's very odd. It's a strange show in which they do much, much stranger things than having Eric Young win the world title. Trust me, I watched the show. That is nothing on their track record. Be happy for the Eric Young. He's only said a couple mean headlines, right? What did he say? I should have been on TV more. Get him out! Yeah. Get rid of him. Ban from the business. Blackball. Be nice to Eric Young. Be nice to those that support the team I used to play for, Team Impact. Sending love their way. What else do we have to say?
You mentioned quote tweet dunks. I'm never going to get this. I would like an apology from all of these WWE fans because this Renee Young interview came out. And I mean, look, all these WWE fans, they wanted to dunk, be like, oh, they gave her plenty of opportunities. What more do you want her to do? And all of this stuff. Renee comes out and is like, they didn't utilize me. Like I had so many ideas of how they could like put me in a better position to do my strengths. Instead, they're having me do commentary, having me doing these pointless backstage interview segments where it's all scripted nonsense. And she's like, she wanted to be like the Megan O'Leary, like doing, you know, stuff on the, she wanted to essentially be the Tony Schiavone, what he does in AEW where
the host.
Yeah. Right, like the host, like she wanted to do that kind of stuff. Gene Okerlund kind of stuff. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to do any of that. And this was my entire point. People were like, they gave her opportunities. What more do you want from her? Grab the brass ring, blah, blah, blah. She said it herself. Folks, are you gonna dunk on Renee Young now? Probably because can. Yeah, they're brand loyalists and that's it. But it's so stupid. Everybody should apologize to me. Be nice to me. My basketball team has broken my heart. Say nice things to me. Say nice things to Joseph. It's his birthday. Apologize for trying to dunk on me. You got blocked at the rim, by the way. You tried to go up and I Robert Covington you at the rim. James Harden, you tried to jack up the three on me thinking, James Harden defense on you, blocked it out of bounds. You thought, oh, you're cute. You're going to throw the ball. Nope. Did the splits, you missed. I hate everything, Joseph. I hate everything.
That was an incredible route of coping. I really admired that, the way you did that there. It was tremendous. You turned the tables. I mean, that's the end, right? This is it. This is the end. Well, this week's show, that is. I don't think this is the end show in general. It may be.
This is the last
TEW series, by the way, every Tuesday. I think I'm the host now. Every Tuesday, the TEW series.
The TEW series is Saturday.
What did I say?
You said Tuesday. Tuesdays is movie reviews.
Why don't we put it to Tuesdays now? Because I've confused people. Why don't we do that? No.
We only have two episodes left in the TEW series.
It's Saturday. It's Saturday. My point was going to be, Jeremy, that reached an abrupt end. If you want to see an abrupt end, check out the last two episodes of that show, because that is truly an epic fall, isn't it? I mean, we're shooting way ahead, and all of a sudden, we're done. It's finished. No more. This, I believe, will continue. Are we saying this show is continuing? Because I think it is, right?
Yeah, sure, for now. Whatever.
For now.
When my hockey team loses tomorrow, I mean, I'll at least have a week to stew and I'll be over it. It'll be fine, but sure, yeah, we'll be back next week talking all out, fallout, and whatever WWE is going to do, Retribution, being Raw exclusive.
And next Tuesday, Jeremy, what film were we reviewing?
I don't know.
I have features. Read Joe's features. That's the point I wanted to make. There you go.
Joe did a great feature on Jon Moxley that everyone should read. And then buried his match. Do what?
No big feature, and then one of these podcasts and buried his match. Classic Joe move.
Joe did a great feature on Jon Moxley. The FTR feature goes up tomorrow at 8 a.m. I've already read it. It's very good as well. You said one was bad and one was good. I thought they were both very good. The Moxley feature was better. I'll say that.
But yeah, much better. I didn't like the FTR deal was one of those like 8 draft kind of monsters that got like sort of combined. I didn't like it. It didn't flow for me. But the Moxley one, I am proud of. So what you do is you retweet the FTR one and like it. I don't expect a compliment for that. Bad word. But retweet and like is enough, right? Moxley, I want retweet, like, share, compliment, quote tweet at John Moxley. Just those things. Just those six things, and we're cool. If not, blocked. No rules. No rules. Blocked.
Follow Joe on Twitter, at JoeHolbert5.
Yes.
I don't care if you follow me on Twitter. If you're going to follow me, just say nice things. Just be like, I'm sorry your basketball team let you down again. It's okay. Send me gifts of, like, people hugging each other. Whatever. Sports are stupid. That's it. We're done. We're done, Joseph. We're done.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.